Well, you asked for him, and we got him in just a moment. None other than David Icke joins us live from the United Kingdom right here on Coast to Coast AM. David Icke is a former professional soccer player, journalist, network anchorman with the BBC. He was the spokesman in the 1980s for the British Green Party, and since 1990, a full-time investigator into who and what is really controlling the world. He is the author of at least 15 books, including Alice in Wonderland of the World Trade Center Disaster, and his latest book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth. Everything else is illusion. On his never-ending quest for truth, he simply says the cutting edge just moved. Never before has a book explained with such clarity why physical reality is merely an illusion that only exists in our brain. David Icke with us for 2 hours on Coast to Coast. Hi, David. How are you?
Hello, George. Nice to talk to you again. Yeah, I'm not bad, actually. I like your show because it happens at a nice time. It's 9:15 in the morning here. Sun's up, and it's not in the middle of the night like so often.
Well, you are one of the most requested guests here on Coast to Coast, David, across the country in North America. So I'm glad you're on with us. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was starting to get some emails and messages from people who said, George, something's gone wrong with David's website. And I went to it, and it had this strange British intelligence, we've taken over his website logo. And I had my producer call you, David. What happened? What was that?
The site was hacked. When British intelligence take over something, they don't put a message up and tell you; they just do it. So it was hacked into, and that was good because it got us to increase the security even more. People have tried to bring the site down a few times over the years because what's beginning to happen is that what people like me and others have been saying all these years is coming, is now in people's face. It's happening by the day. And years ago, I said that there would be a window of time when all that was hidden would break the surface where it could be seen, because when all that's been manipulated behind the scenes moves to become physical reality, then there's a time when we can see it. And now there it is in front of our faces. And funnily enough, I'm just about to start filming on a mainstream television documentary, which is going to go out this year in Britain, which they've called David Icke, the man who got it right, because a producer came to a talk I did in Ireland, in Belfast, years ago in the mid-90s, and started to see in more recent times that what was said there is now happening, and it's turning into a television documentary pointing out what was said is what is going on. So when you also have things like Charlie Sheen coming out and using his fame and notoriety to put highly legitimate questions in the public arena, we're now starting to get a situation where those of us that, and at sometimes it's felt, George, like banging your head against a wall and getting massive headache. It's now at the point where you can start to see we can make a real breakthrough here in terms of getting people to understand that the world is not just a little bit not like they thought it was. It's absolutely nothing like they thought it was.
Do you find that public opinion is beginning to sway as well, David, where maybe 4 or 5 years ago they accepted many things that were fed to them, handed to them? Now they're beginning to question just about everything?
You know what I think, George? I was saying this to a journalist the other day. It's like a tinderbox out there, and that is consciously and subconsciously, increasingly vast, vast numbers of people instinctively are feeling that something's not right. They might not be able to articulate in detail what it is, but something's not right about the world. Something's not right about what's going on here, and the spark that will set that afire is the information to explain what is going on. And when people have access to it, suddenly what seemed to be a bewildering complex what's going on world becomes perfectly understandable, because to understand what is happening, you have to understand what those in power are trying to achieve. If you don't know that, then you have a coordinate missing that is fundamental to understanding. If you think that, and I'm sure there are still some people there out there who do suffer from terminal naivety and still believe that governments are there to somehow serve the people and do what's right by the country, then if you believe that, then you can look around the world and you can say things like, this government is just stupid. This government's incompetent. What's this government doing? This is crazy. When you realize that the goal is not to serve the people, it's not to serve the country, it is to serve an agenda for global centralization of power and control.
And greed. And
what
greed
is happening in the world becomes genius, not stupidity, because the outcome is exactly what it's meant to achieve.
And when you said, David, that something's wrong, we can all feel it. I use the analogy that when you're driving on the freeway in your car and you might have a nail in your tire. Now, your car is not going to, the tire's not going to blow up as long as that nail's still there. But you just don't feel right. The car doesn't drive right. It kind of shimmies. It shakes a little bit. And you know that there's just something wrong, but you're just not sure. I feel this way about what's happening on this planet now. And a lot of people do. That, as you've just said, there's just something that's not right about what's going on, and we're smart enough to feel it.
Yeah, and what we need is someone to come along, using your analogy, George, and say, hey, have you had a look at your back tire? This is what the problem is. And that situation, symbolically, is information. It's this, you know, the suppression of information through the mainstream media globally, not just in America, is not there because, hey, let's have a bit of fun here and keep this from the people. It's fundamental to the control, because if you constantly give people one version of possibility, possible reality, then, and you keep repeating it over and over, and this greatest form of mind control is repetition, then people are going to see the world in a certain way. They might feel instinctively, as we're talking about, something's not right, but they're only being given constantly, over and over again, one version of reality. I know from my experience over the years, when another possibility is brought in, people go, hold on a second, and it's very powerful in the way that it makes them rearrange their sense of reality. And this is why throughout history, all authorities, no matter what form or race or expression they've taken, have always seen visionaries as dangerous people. Because what visionaries do in all their different forms is put another version of reality out there so people can see that there is actually not only one version of possibility. And when you realize there's more than one version of possibility, well, how many more versions of possibility are there? And your mind starts to open, and you start to open yourself to things that before, with the closed-minded, one reality, everyone knows how things are kind of idea, you would have been closed to. And what's happening is, whether it's a vibrational change, I think it is, there is a alarm clock going off within people, and it's taking the expressions that we talked about among vast numbers of people. Yes, there's something wrong, but increasingly that is being transferred among more and more people, from instinctively feeling something is wrong to beginning to understand through access to information why it's wrong and what is actually happening. And once you realize that the goal of this whole scenario is the centralization of global power and an Orwellian global state in which people, microchip people, would be under control from cradle to grave, then you start to realize why things are happening. For instance, if you think that people went into Iraq and caused that unbelievable slaughter because they wanted to free the Iraqi people from Saddam Hussein, or they wanted to make things good in Iraq, then you might look at Iraq and say, this is incredible. What a stupid thing to do. I mean, look, there's civil war now. Well, if you realize that they want civil war, they want to divide and rule the people of Iraq and the Muslim world in general by pushing the different factions against each other in war, then suddenly what's happening in Iraq is not incompetence. It is actually genius in terms of the outcome being achieved that they set out to achieve. But if you don't know the outcome they want, it can look a mess. It's not a mess to them.
It is, and you're right, it is genius, because they are doing, the globalists are doing what they want to do. How long do you think the plan was in the works for globalism?
Oh, it might sound extraordinary to people who are new to this, but thousands of years at least. One of the things I've charted in my books is a series of interbreeding bloodlines, which go under different names. I mean, the names change as they pass through history, but you can pick them up in ancient Babylon. You can follow them across from Babylon and the Babylonian Empire and the Babylonian religion. I mean, of course, this is why, if you look at the symbolism of this network, this Illuminati, the illuminated ones, illuminated into knowledge they keep from the rest of us, this is why it's all Babylonian symbolism, because this is the historical base that they're coming from. They moved out of Babylon to Rome, and that's when they created the Roman Empire and the Roman Church. And they then moved, of course, massively. Still, Rome is an extraordinarily important center to them. But they moved off into northern Europe, where they became the aristocracy and royal families, the royal family, in truth, of Europe. And then through the empires, particularly the British, the French too, and others, but particularly the British, they exported these bloodlines and the secret society network through which they manipulate themselves into power all over the world, to the Americas, to Australia, to Africa, and everywhere. Now, what then happened is apparently the colonial powers gave independence to the former colonies, like what became the United States. Mm-hmm. But what actually happened was it was a sleight of hand. They just moved from in-your-face dictatorship, colonial rule. The people of the American colonies knew they were controlled from Britain. But they then moved from that form of control, which has a finite life because people will eventually rebel against control that they can see. But they moved it to hidden hand control, control you can't see. So although they apparently gave independence to the American colonies and these other colonies around the world, they left out there the bloodlines under different names and the secret society network they operate through, and they've gone on controlling those countries ever since. The only difference is, and it's a key difference, is it's hidden behind the facade and the masquerade of democratic freedom. But the strings are being pulled by the few. I mean, anyone believes that George Bush is actually calling the shots. He's a puppet. Like, if you're actually in a position of power that you can see, touch, and taste, like prime minister, president, or head of the Federal Reserve, whatever, you're still a puppet. The real power never puts itself on public display. It works through the expendable people in the end that are in the positions of apparent power. But that's all it is, apparent power. So these guys stay in office, stay in power, get the privileges of power so long as they dance to the tune and sing from the song sheet. Once they cease to do that, then they're removed in various ways.
Well, and see, and I think that's one thing that John F. Kennedy faced, and maybe he was starting to rebel.
Quite possibly. I think there were many strands around Kennedy at the time that made him very expendable to them. And it's not just assassination. It's also creating economic collapse, economic problems, which cause people to be removed by apparently the people at elections. And the classic, George, example of this was Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher was put into power in 1979 in Britain, a year before Ronald Reagan and, in truth, President George Father Bush were put in power in America. And what happened was, just by coincidence, nothing to worry about, is through that period of the 80s, they stayed in power, and we had Thatcherism on this side of the Atlantic, Reaganomics in your country, which were mirror economic theories and policies. And there came a point, and Margaret Thatcher was not put into power knowingly manipulating. One of the ways that they do this is they'll take someone who naturally wants to introduce various policies, economic policies, whatever, and they'll just put them into power and manipulate them around the scenes. Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady, was one of the most manipulated prime ministers in history, not least by her foreign secretary, a guy called Lord Carrington.
Did she even know it? Did she even know it was happening to her?
No. They think they're in power. They believe their own publicity. Now, what came, and Lord Carrington, I was just going to say, was the head of the Bilderberg Group, this Illuminati strand in the web that manipulates so much in Europe in particular, but globally too. And once she became expendable, because she was starting to speak very vehemently against more centralization of power in the European Union and more sovereignty and laws and power being given from Britain to Europe. There was an article in one of the alternative newspapers in America in the late 80s, which said that there'd been a meeting of the Bilderberg Group in Sweden, I think it was, and they decided that Margaret Thatcher was now to be removed because she was becoming a problem, not an asset. And within a year, the Iron Lady was removed, not even by the people of Britain, but by her own party. And when you look back to the time of that Bilderberg Group, you can see that very soon after that meeting, there was a complete sea change of attitude to Margaret Thatcher in the British media, which had always slavishly supported her up to that point. And suddenly she started being criticized, being undermined, and eventually she's removed. So these things are going on all the time. And one kind of important point to make about the way the political system is manipulated, what you find is no matter what the opposition party says in opposition, when it gets into government, it does basically what the government it's replaced has done. And this is one of the ways that we are manipulated to believe that we live in a free and open democratic society. What they do is they will have one party in power for a certain time, and it will carry out certain policies. The other party will often criticize those policies. And then we have this farce called an election. The opposition party becomes the government. And now the policies that it criticized in opposition, it continues to introduce and support in government. So the key thing is, whichever party is in government, the same things unfold. And once you start to realize this, you can see that apart from on the surface, apart from in theory, we are all living in one-party states. But we're given the idea that we have choice because we're allowed to vote every few years. And we shouldn't confuse the right to vote with the right to choose because they're not the same thing.
You're absolutely right. It's like voting.
We have a guy, George, here, Tony Blair. You know when he's lying because his lips are moving. If he ever told the truth, it'd self explode and self destruct. And he has total power in this country, basically on 36% of the vote. And this is called a democracy.
True. And did he not say in Australia he's not going to run anymore? What's going on with that?
Well, this is a good example, George, of exactly what I've just been talking about, because we have a situation where Blair has said that he's going to stand down at some point before the next election. However, he will be replaced in the Labour Party, his party, the governing party currently, by a man called Gordon Brown, who is currently the Chancellor of the Exchequer. And he will continue exactly the same policies in terms of centralization and all the rest of it as Blair. And should it go to the opposition Conservative Party, they have just elected a leader called David Cameron, who, if you didn't see his face, you would think it was Tony Blair speaking.
Stay with us. David Icke, our guest, will be back next hour. We'll open up the phone lines on Coast to Coast AM. Well, in about an hour, you'll be able to go to Turkey and see the solar eclipse. How are you going to do that? Well, you just go to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the feature article that Lexis posted. There is a direct link
to a website in Turkey that is going to show you live the eclipse, which occurs in a little less than an hour. So make sure you take advantage of that. We'll be back in a moment with our chat with David Icke. In the next hour, your phone calls with David on Coast to Coast AM. David, you've done some work in the arena of magnetic frequency attacks on people. We get a lot of phone calls from people who claim that they think they're being bombarded. And, you know, at the face of it, you sit back and go, oh, come on, that's preposterous. But a lot of these people are pretty convincing that something's going on. What have you discovered?
Oh, I think it's definitely going on. The thing is that once you start to, again, understand we're into information, if you are putting together your perception of reality, what are you doing it on? You're doing it on the basis of information that you have access to. So when you suppress information, you suppress people's perception of possibility. And once you start to realize how the body works, what the body is, and how the brain works and what the brain is, suddenly you can start to understand the effect and the power of magnetic fields on not just the human body, but human thought and human emotion. I wrote an article in my newsletter about a month ago about the connection between mobile phone masts and a system we are having forced upon the emergency services, police, etc., in Britain, called Tetra, which there are different versions of it around the world. And what these, I've got one, funnily enough, I've got a Tetra mast about 100 yards from where I'm speaking. And what they do is they're putting out frequencies in the same frequency band as human brain waves. And what is happening is that people are getting sick because it is scrambling the balance of the electrochemical signals going around the brain. Once you scramble that, suddenly anything's possible. It's going to manifest in emotional problems. People get really depressed. It's going to manifest in not being able to think straight. It's going to manifest in physical dis-ease, disharmony. And what is happening, George, is that we are being bombarded on so many fronts to scramble our ability to be physically, mentally, and emotionally balanced and healthy. And it's coming from many sources, not just electromagnetic fields, but that is one of them. Not just from Tetra masts and mobile phone masts, etc., but also through the things in our food. When you look at things like aspartame, this sweetener, the best word I can use for it on a family show, which was introduced by the manipulation of Donald Rumsfeld when he was head of Searle Pharmaceuticals, which sold out to Monsanto at a vast profit. When you look at mobile phone frequencies, when you look at fluoride in the water, they have a common theme, and that is they are what scientists call excitotoxins. In other words, they excite the brain cells so they stop functioning. This is what mercury in vaccines does. It affects the electrical messages going around the brain, and therefore it's affecting the communication on mental, emotional, and physical levels from the brain and the body and on all these other levels. So it's not being done by accident, it's being done by design so that we operate on a fraction of our full and true potential to think straight, to be emotionally balanced, and to be healthy. So, I'm sure people, some people imagine they're being attacked when they're not, but are some people attacked? Absolutely they are. And the electromagnetic attack is very, very powerful way of scrambling people. And it's done on many levels in many ways.
David, sounds like they're trying to cover all the bases on this.
Well, this is a, you know, sometimes, you know, people can get into the mode where they're always saying things that are not very pleasant, not very nice. And those things need to come out so we understand what the game is. But it's also, ironically, what I've just said is extremely positive in this sense. They are having to attack us on so many levels, in so many ways, because we are multidimensional genius. We are. We have forgotten that. We have forgotten the power we have. But just look at the at how much has to be done to suppress us. How it has to be done constantly in so many different ways. I've used this analogy before. I think it sums up the situation. Our natural state is one of brilliance. It is one of balance. It is one of harmony. Mm-hmm. It is one of love. That is our natural state. What we are seeing when people say, it's human nature, mate, you can't change human nature. Well, the nature of the human that we're seeing is the nature of a manipulated, suppressed, and imbalanced human, and that is the outcome of what's being done to us. If you take this analogy of a ball in a tank of water, its natural state is to float on the top.
Right.
To keep it in its unnatural state, George, on the bottom, you have to push it down and you have to hold it there. You can't let it go. You have to keep holding it constantly because once you let it go, whoop, it's back to its natural state. And in the same way, we are being attacked and targeted on all these different levels. Microchipping is the big jewel in the crown of this that they want. And they are having to do this because symbolically they have to hold us, the ball, on the bottom of the tank in our unnatural state, and they can't turn off the pressure, if you like, because bang, we'll awaken to the true nature of who we are.
Because so, the minute you let go of that ball, as you said, it explodes to the surface.
Exactly, and because it's what we call waking up. People have woken up, and what have they woken up from? They've woken up from a hypnotic trance, because that's what the human race is in. A hypnotic trance, a false reality, a false sense of reality, which we are living, because that is the reality that's being fed to us. And if you want to get into that, I can talk at length about how this is done and what this reality is that we're actually being falsely connected to. But the thing is that when people wake up, all that pressure just gets cast aside. Suddenly, bang, yes, I can see it now. Despite what they put in the food, despite the Tetra mask, despite the mobile phone mask, despite all this other stuff, I can see it now. And that is the spark that we need to get out there, information, so that people can, because once they switch on, then all these things, it's like just shaking the flies off an elephant's back once you open up to the true magnitude of who we are. But while we're in the box, while we're in the trance, we are disconnected from our multidimensional infinite genius and power, and therefore we're a manipulator's party trick. Waking up from the hypnotic trance is the revolution.
David, I want to get your take on a couple things that have driven us crazy here in the United States, and of course part of it includes the company in England, the DP World's takeover of the London-based company Peninsular. And then also at the same time, now they we're told that they're going to sell the leases to those U.S. ports and that they're not going to run them. This is Dubai company. We'll see what happens there. But the other thing that just happened last week that we uncovered was the fact that our administration has signed a no-bid contract with a Chinese company called Hutchison Whampoa to monitor nuclear objects that may be shipped to the United States. It doesn't make any sense.
Hey, George, this is a very synchronistic chat we're having tonight, because we go back to what I was talking about at the start. What something can seem incredibly stupid and bizarre if you don't have the coordinate of knowing what the goal is. The goal is a globally centralized state with a world government, world central bank, world army, world currency, microchip population connected to a global computer. That is the goal. Now, to do that, you have to destroy nations, because, and particularly, you have to destroy superpowers. Because if you have superpowers in the world, the centralized world government cannot dictate to a superpower that has the military economic might to say, excuse me, not doing it, okay, go away.
Yes.
So you need to destroy all power that can confront your power, the power that you want to centrally control. So America is being systematically destroyed commercially, economically, militarily, to that end. I've been talking about this for a decade that this was coming, and now we're seeing it. So what is bizarre to us, like the contract with the Chinese military, in effect, is connected to the fact that they sold off the Long Beach deep sea port to the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Bizarre. I mean, here we have a situation where people like Rumsfeld and others are saying, "Oh, China military buildup and all this stuff." That's because that's another scenario they want. It's leading to a conflict with China. I've been talking about this for a decade. This is where it's leading, and now we're seeing the Pentagon announcing that they're changing their military operations to look at a possible conflict with China. I've been talking about this for a decade and writing about it, that this was a big part of the agenda and where it was leading. They want a third world war, out of which they will say, to stop this ever happening again, we need to have a world government and centralization of control to stop this conflict on this scale ever happening again. It is a global version of what happened, another global version of what happened after the Second World War, when they said, to stop this happening again, we must have, and in came the United Nations, in came the Bretton Woods agreements, and all these centralizations of global power that happened as a result of the Second World War. So the stuff that you've talked about, which is selling America's assets to forces outside of America, so that America increasingly, by the day, by the week, ceases to have more and more control over its own internal destiny. But that control is being given away more and more and more to outside forces. That's absolutely in line, George, with the agenda I've been writing about for 10 years, over 16 years, actually.
And add to that now also what we're seeing, and that's a massive influx of illegal immigrants into the United States, and no one is doing anything about.
Well, let me just talk about this, George, because this again fundamentally connects into what I've been talking about. We've got the same situation in Europe, where borders have come down as a result of the European Union, and the same thing's happening. Now, when you talk about this stuff, people can say, racist, racist. Well, there are some racists around. There are. I mean, let's not hide it. And they're not all white either. There are racists in all different races. But
sure.
But if we look at the big picture here, it is not about saying, from my point of view, what about these foreigners? We don't want these foreigners here. I mean, look at the American nation. I mean, it is a wonderful, glorious combination of peoples from all over the world. That's what America is, and it's something to be celebrated. And it's the same situation with guns. I don't have a gun. I wouldn't use a gun. I don't want a gun, all the rest of it. But instead of saying, oh, it's them gun owners, they're quite right, get rid of the guns, we need to take a step back, and we need to say, hold on, deep breath, take a step back, look at it again, big picture. Why are they trying to get rid of guns in public ownership in America? Why, all over the world, is this thing about immigration, people pouring into different countries, all the rest of it, going on? It is because whether we support countries and nationhood, I mean, I don't consider myself as British. I had to be born on a piece of land, otherwise I would have drowned. And I was actually born on a piece of land that's called Britain. You know, I don't see myself as British. I am infinite consciousness, like we all are. I just having an experience on this piece of land. But the point is that countries and the sense of nationhood is a bulwark against centralization of global power and the removal of sovereign choice within smaller areas of the world instead of it being dictated to everyone from a central point. Therefore, nationhood and a sense of nationhood, a sense of unique culture has to go to bring about this global society. Not based on cooperation, I'm all for that, but based on centralization of control. So when you start to connect the dots, and if I'm making any contribution to this, it is to connect dots, because, you know, it's like looking at a piece of paper. There's dots all over it, and each individual dot might be interesting in itself, but when the dots are connected, wow, I can see the picture now.
You see the picture, right.
So all these things we're talking about, George, the immigration across borders where nothing, no one's doing anything about it, the contracts being given to the Chinese, the contracts being given for control of ports to foreign forces outside the control of the country. All these things are connected to the same goal. That's what we must understand, what the goal is. Centralization of power and the end of power to the people in terms of units of sovereign states or communities to a centralization or dictatorship, which is what they're heading for very, very fast.
I want David Icke to look into his crystal ball and tell us what he sees for the future of this planet.
What I see sitting here now is a massive fork in the road. If we keep going on the road that we're on now, we will live in a global fascist state within a few short years, and our children, indeed, and it's not just about our children, the timescale is not shorter than that, but they will live in this for longer than we will. It will be a centralized Orwellian nightmare. If we get off our backsides, more importantly, George, we get off our knees and start to address this and start to open our minds and break the concrete rigidity from our thoughts and possibilities and sense of perception, then we can transform this apparent inevitable outcome into something very, very different. Because we, the people as a whole, are the system that is controlling us. If we don't cooperate with it, there is no system. And when people say to me that they're a law-abiding citizen, well, that's very nice, but hold on a second. What? You're an abider of every law? I mean, if we're going to be law-abiding citizens, we might as well give up, because what it means is laws are going to be passed by corrupt politicians that merely become law because there's enough hands in the air or some diktat is signed by the president. And then we have to abide by those laws, even though they're taking our freedoms away by the day. No, no. We need to stop cooperating with the laws that are there not to make society better and a nicer place to live. They are there to control, to impose, to dictate, to take freedoms away. We have to stand up and say, enough, we're not having it. And if enough people do that, I mean, what would happen, George, if someone comes out the White House or Downing Street or wherever and says, we've had a discussion, this is what we've decided to do, this is going to happen. What would happen if the people as a whole said, sorry, mate, no way, not doing
That's
it.
That's right. Not going to happen.
Power.
They have no power. Divide Stay with
and
us.
Rule. It's, I tell you what would change the world. People doing what they know to be right instead of doing what they think is right for them in the moment. That would
Good
transform
point.
It.
Good point. David Icke, our guest. We'll be back with David Icke. We'll take your phone calls with him next on Coast to Coast AM.